Blog Talk Radio.
At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land-grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, today many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. Now, this is what we are faced with, and this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington in this campaign, we are coming to get our check.
Hello, welcome to the Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob. I'm going to wait for my guests to come on through. Hopefully they'll get here real soon. This one sister, I think she has some interesting comments. So, I'm going to run a few things. If that would occupy that time. You're not supposed to say that kind of shit. You're just supposed to just like, okay, well, hint around to it. But let's play a few things. Let's get this started. We coming back. We're going to try to do this constantly because I see people falling off. And I don't like that.
Well, you hear me say no. Without any apology, it's no good to stay in a white man country too long. It's no good to stay in a white man country too long. It's no good to stay in a white man country too long. In the 50s, my mother, sister run go England. Now them gone America, them turn American. It's no good to stay in a white man country too long. It's no good to stay in a white man country too long. So you left Clarendon and go a Brixton, and you check the things cool in a Liverpool. But Enoch Powell didn't know that things would get a blow. It's no good to stay in a white man country too long. It's no good to stay in a white man country too long. And I listen to the news, I get confused. A black man shine, the Ku Klux Klan. It's no good to stay in a white man country too long. It's no good to stay in a white man country too long. If you're white, it's alright. If you're brown, stick around. If you're black, get back. Are you better? Attack. It's no good to stay in a white man country too long. It's no good to stay in a white man country too long. Now the fire have a burn, the blood have a run. At times Big Ben really tumbled down. And Peter said, him have a burn a chalice. But me say, him should have burned down the palace. It's no good to stay in a white man country too long. It's no good to stay in a white man country too long. Hear why? When you're there, you say, hey, sir. When you go there, you say, a cup of tea, please. It's no good. Rastafari, no. It's no good to stay in a white man country too long. When you're there, you say, hey, sir.
when you go there, you say, hey mate, it's getting late, it's no good to stay in a white man country too long. It's no good to stay in a white man country too long. Now them shoot Regan, them shoot the Pope, them shoot after the Queen, and you take it me a joke. It's no good to stay in a white man country too long. It's no good to stay in a white man country too long. It's no good to stay in a white man country too long. Blacks in England, what is your plan? Blacks in England, check the time. Skinhead them now, check them crime. Blacks in England, find your land. Cause it's no good to stay in a white man country too long. Yes.
Yo, where the fuck is that little boy at? Stanley, bring your ass.
Look at that punk ass nigga. But anyway, man, yo, bone, man. When I get 14, man, I want to buy me a ragtop tray and some gold
dangles. Man, fuck that shit, man. You need to take your ass to school, get your motherfucking job,
man,
and
fuck
shit.
Fuck that, man. Fuck you, man. Look here. When I get 14, man, I want to buy me a ragtop tray on some gold dangles with a three-wheel motion, chin-wheel put out, three-finger ring, fat-ass link, and a big booty bitch to go with.
Break them off, son.
It's really a shame. Young brothers and sisters today have a lack of understanding of what it really means to be black.
Could you tell me who unleashed our animal instincts? And the white man sitting there tickle pink? Laughing at us on the avenue. Busting cops at each other after having brew. We can't enjoy ourselves. Too busy jealous at each other's wealth. Becoming not just envy, but the black community is full of envy.
Oh shit.
Too much backstabbing. Why I look out the window, I see all the Japs grabbing. Every vacant lot in my neighborhood.
Yep.
Build a store and sell their goods to the county residents. You know us poor niggas, nappy hair and big lips. Four or five babies on your crops, and you expect Uncle Sam to help us out?
Jeez.
We ain't nothing but porch monkeys to the average bigot, redneck honky. Your fight coming up is a must, but before we can come up, take a look at us.
Break them off some.
Y'all dope dealers, you as bad as the police, cause you kill us. You got touch when you started slanging dope, but you ain't built us a supermarket, so we can spend our money with the blacks. Too busy buying golden Cadillacs. That's what you're doing with the money that you're raising, exploiting us like the Caucasians did. For 400 years, I got 400 tears for 400 peers. Died last year from gang-related crimes.
World
Hello, my name is Elaine, and I'll be your tour guide through South Central Los Angeles.
How to survive in South Central? A place where busting the gap is fundamental. No, you can't find a shit in a handbook. Take a close look at a rap crook. Rule number one, get yourself a gun, a nine in your ass to be fine. In your club compartment, cause Jack is up. They love to start shit. Now if you're white, you can trust the police. But if you're black, they ain't nothing but beef. Watch out for the kill. Don't make a false move and keep your hands on the steering wheel. And don't get smart, answer all questions. And that's your first lesson on staying alive in South Central, yeah. That's how you survive.
Hi, this is Elaine again. Are you enjoying your stay in South Central, Los Angeles? Or is somebody taking your thing? Make sure you have your camcorder ready to witness the extracurricular activities on Blacks by the Police, so you and your family can enjoy this tape over and over again.
Rule number two, don't trust nobody, especially a bitch with a hook of spot. Cause it ain't nothing but a trap, and females will get the jacks and kidnapped. You'll wind up dead. Just to be safe, don't wear no blue or red, cause most niggas get got. In neither L.A., Compton, or Watts, pissed off black human beings. So I think about a skip the sightseeing, and if you're nothing but a mark, make sure that you're in before dark. But if you need some affection, mate, Make sure the bitch ain't a section 8, cause if so, that's a monkey wrench hole. And you won't survive in South Facebook.
Now you realize it's not always cracked up to be. You realize that it's fucked up. I mean, nothing like the shit you saw on TV. Palm trees and palm stitches. So I advise you to pack your shit and get the fuck on. Yeah.
Yo, I'ma say what's up to DJ Chili Chill, Sir G. Hey, yo, dude, these motherfuckers don't know what time it is. So show these motherfuckers what's happening. Tell these motherfuckers, don't fuck around and talk fish. God damn it. Rule number 3, don't get caught up. Cause niggas aren't doing anything that's caught up. And they gotta fight on everything from dope to stolen merchandise. Read the germ. Cause South Central LA is one big germ. Wait for a brother like you to catch a disease. And start slanging keys to an undercover with a wrong brother. And they'll smother a out-of-town motherfucker. So don't take your life for granted. Cause it's the craziest place on the planet. In LA, heroes don't fly through the sky storm. They live behind bars. So everybody's doing a little dirt. And it's the young thugs putting in the most work. So be alert, stay calm. As you enter the concrete Vietnam, you say the strong survive. Shit, the strong even die in South City.
Yeah, you bitches, you think I'm done with your ass, trap ass hoes. You better watch out. And for you so-called brawler ass niggas, you know what time it is. You better keep your gat all behind, motherfucker. You better keep one in the same with nine in the clip, goddammit. You and yo get got just like that. This ain't no joke, motherfucker. And I want you to shout out to E-Dog, the engineer, putting this tooth in the
This is Los Angeles.
When other people tell their history, they come across as being patriotic. When other people talk about where they came from and who they are and what their history is, that's called patriotism. But when African Americans do it or when black people do it, they're labeled as being militant. They're called rebels. They're called Afrocentric. So that's the big difference. Our history, for some reason, it becomes offensive to people. So we have to stop being afraid to tell what our true history is.
Studies will show that the dominant population here in America especially, and in Europe, have wanted to claim everything for themselves. And so they have made up a lot of stories as they traveled to places. And as we know, all of the places that the so-called European or the white explorers traveled, when they got there, black people were already there. Some kind of black people, or yellow people, or red people, or brown people. You as a black man are the root of all of the civilizations. Every body they've ever found, every tomb they've ever raided, whatever it was, they found something symbolic of the black man, either our features, your nose, your mouth, your head, the way we looked, our hair, even braids, everything.
The makeup of a human being's self-esteem, self-image, and self-concept is not only based upon one's family history, but it's also based upon one's racial history. So when you look at the self-esteem of black people and black children, you can rest assured that at least 50% of how high or how low it is contingent upon positive information that they know or don't know about who they have been in racial history.
And over the last, I would say, 1,000 years, there has been a protracted effort and an ongoing effort by those in power, the European powers especially, to make sure that what we have done as an indigenous or what we call autochthonous peoples, Earth's autochthonous peoples, is erased irrevocably from the minds of all our people.
Only a people who haven't learned how to respect themselves will let someone suggest themselves that they forget about their history.
If you know yourself, there's no way that anybody could ever do the things to you, or would you do the things to you and yours that we find ourselves doing. So that, and in many ways, I don't really think it's hidden. It's there. It's just that they're not allowing us to understand.
Ladies, y'all wanna party?
Where my lady?
Lordy, lordy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just chilling with my girl under my Bacardi. You know, my name is Leonardi. Check it out. Ladies wanna sing like Pavarotti? Naughty. So me go so, well every girl I tell them why I know me yardy, oh. Me and the woman, them will never separate, oh. Listen me record, oh, them love me bravado, oh. Drop me pencil, but me pencil I tried, oh. Oh man, I know the boy, my girl, that's for radio. I watch woman like satellite and video radio. Naughty, oh, the girl, give me bonus or reward, oh. Don't them bang, daddy, oh, if I from Colorado, oh. Tell them why I'm a rebel,
you know.
Tell them why I'm a rebel. Keep fit, cause the girl dem a come all in. Speak and span, woman I wonder how me show need. Don't tell yourself that me a wine on yam, no me. Carry and never tumble, dem me not the one me. Yes, and a sheet, woman I ask if dem no don't need. No to me tell the bad man not no so weak. Force it down deep in a Vanessa and body,
you know.
Well, every girl I said dem want to be radio. Me and the woman, dem will never separate radio. Listen me record, yo, dem love me bravado. Broke me pencil, but me pen still a draw.
Yeah.
mama got your back. Your mama wiped your ass, wiped your nose, wiped your whole damn face, all with the same rag. I learned my lesson on that. Get out of that rag. Hell out. And my mom was old school. When I was growing up, there wasn't no need for no Amber Alert. Hell no. Nah. I wasn't getting abducted back then. Hell no. Nah. When my mom putting that Vaseline on my face so I could look shiny and new at that bus stop, she gave me some real good advice. When your ass get off that bus at 4:30, I want you in that house. And I mean in that house. I don't want you letting nobody in the house that I get off work at 9 o'clock tonight. You got it?
I got it. For everybody in the house, you got to work at 9 o'clock tonight.
I got it. I get off that bus at 4:30. I get in that house, lock that door like Fort Knox. Go get me some chocolate milk and watch my favorite cartoon, Thundercats. Hell yeah! Thunder! Thunder! Thundercats! Go Lionel, go! I be drinking my chocolate milk. This is the greatest episode I've ever seen in my life! That doorbell ring though, bing bong, I'm like, who could that be? I go to the door, who is it? Baby, it's your grandmama. Open the door, let your grandmama in the house. Sorry, grandma. My mama said not to let nobody in the house. And she meant nobody in the house that she get off work at 9 o'clock at night. Oh, baby, now grandmama done came all the way over here to see you. You know you can let your grandmama in the house. I love you too, grandma. Now, baby, I done got two buses to come over here. Hello, Grandma. I love you, too. But my mama said not to let nobody's house. She meant nobody's house that you get out of work at 9 o'clock at night. Now, you're welcome to catch both them buses back to your house. Or you welcome to sit on the porch and wait till she get out of work at 9 o'clock at night. But could you please excuse me? I got to get back to my Thundercats and my chocolate milk. I go back and sit down. Go, Panther, go! Next thing you know, the doorbell rang again. Bing, bong. What does she want? Nah! Go back door. Who is it? Boy, this your daddy. Open this damn door. You got your grandmama out here sitting on the porch. You open this door and let both of us in right now. Sorry, Daddy. Mama said not to let nobody in his house. She meant nobody in his house since she get out of work at 9 o'clock tonight. Boy, you know I live there. Apparently not.
The world, we have to keep Jah fire burning. Scene. Whoa, hey. Keep the fire burning.
I've been playing this one for a couple of months now. It's a massive tune on the UK sound system circuit. Track entitled Keep the Fire Burning. Man like Murray Man.
In life, as you know, we were small and now we grow. In this life we have to know the truth and right. Don't let Babylon them hold you. Don't let them hold you down. We have to fight this battle right now onto the ground. So we gotta wake up, and look what's before us. Cause those who can't see will get caught in Babylon society. For those who know the truth, you've got to keep
out for this one, coming on the Scoops imprint, straight out of the Vibronic Studio, Leicester.
Okay, we lost them. Okay, well, we're going to go to the next caller. The next caller is an unknown caller. Caller, what's your name and where you calling from? Hello?
Hello, this is, this is Renee, and I'm calling from St. Louis.
What's up, Renee?
Hey, I actually have a very deep opinion on this. I'm actually in the process of building a documentary on this very topic. I've actually went kind of had a interesting conversation with one of the gay shows that's on Blog Talk the other night.
Okay.
So it's been interesting, but I wanted to say that first of all, I'm somebody who looks at the facts and the figures and the numbers. And not to say that those numbers are always right, but we still have to look at that. And so people were talking about whether people are born gay or it's a choice. Well, in 2003, they finished mapping the human genome. There was no gene. There was nothing that they could find that leads to homosexuality, that has anything to do with homosexuality. They could not find it. You know, everybody keeps saying, and I could give you all the research, I could give you the data, I could give you the scientist's name. In fact, the original scientist who was looking into it, he himself was homosexual. He claims to have found it. That's when this whole thing came about. But he later admitted that he did not find it, and no one, even his colleagues, no one could ever find this that supposedly he had found. And even himself admitted that he lied about that. There's been no gay gene. Okay. There is no gay gene. It's a choice. It's a sexual choice. Now, what we have to understand is what's going on right now. And that is that it's been going on forever, but they're just putting it in a new direction. And that is an attack on black male masculinity and sexuality. Now, a lot of people don't know this. They don't know this. But the black community has the largest number of LGBT people. Think about that. We have the largest numbers than any other race for our percentage of the population. Our percentage is 5%, whereas I believe white people's is something like 3.6% or something like that, 3.4%. We have 5%. Every other race is way lower than us. Why? This is not by mistake. I mean, not mistake. This is not by coincidence. It's not by maybe this is by design.
Well, hold on, ma'am. What would you say that the largest percentage of? I missed that part.
LGBT people in our community.
Okay.
And then you have to think about it, though. The people, and even the people were saying in the study that they really think the numbers are higher because a lot of black men, a lot of black people are not going to put that down and say that they are a part of that community, especially the ones who we talked about like DL and all that kind of thing. So the numbers would actually probably be quite a bit higher. And we're not really looking at that. And black people, as I've said this before, black people are reactors and not proactive. We don't proact on things. We just react. So we wait till it gets to a level to where there's so much going on, and then we want to fuss about it. And then we want to say, oh, my gosh, what's happening? Instead of looking at what's going on and then doing something. The fact of the matter is that all of this is, I'm not going to say all of this, but a big major part of this is a result of things put in place in 1960. And that was to promote single mothers in the black community. If you all know, you know, the government was going to pay for your housing, your food, all of this kind of stuff, going to school, anything. They began helping people in the 60s. But there was a stipulation. Mm-hmm. You could not have a man in that house. And they would come at any time to look in your house. You would not know. They would sneak up on you. So, therefore, if you had a man, or if they saw any men things in your home, you were automatically cut off. So a lot of men voluntarily would move out of the home because it was hard getting jobs then. So in order to take care of his family, and he knew they needed that assistance, it became tough. And that is one of the mass exodus of black men out of the home because it was a situation. So when you take that and you add that with young men, and it's well known and well documented that children's first teacher is their parent, right? And children emulate their same-sex parent. So if you emulate your same-sex parent, what do you do as a little black boy and you don't have a daddy there? Who are you to emulate? You don't just make up in your mind a man. You begin to emulate your mother. So what happens is they begin to pick up certain effeminate behaviors and things like that. Now, I did a lot of research on this. Some of the guys said that what happened is they became more effeminate from being raised by mama, grandma, auntie, sisters, all around them. No real male solid influence. Then people began to tell them, you act like a girl. You're the F word. You're a sissy. They would tell them things like that. When you are young, you are very impressionable. It made, for some of the guys, they said it made a big impact on them, and they began to think maybe that's what they are, because they are more feminine. Right. They're not more masculine. And it's a thing of when you make suggestions to people at a young age, that can begin to foster an image in their mind. And before you know it, once you take that step over so far as to have sex with another man, then a lot of times they just say, well, I guess this is what I am. I guess I'm gay. And so them being effeminate and not having that connection, now when they feel other people like them, then they believe, okay, well, this is what I am. When the reality is there are effeminate straight men. There are masculine women. But a lot of times in our society, we don't allow that, and we kind of push that. And that's where we get such even higher numbers of gay people. I also want to say really quickly that if you look at what's going on now, look at the two sports, look at hip-hop, and then look at sports. Black men, two things that black men overwhelmingly participate in is very masculine, very dominant with black men, very masculine. Okay, look what two sports, basketball, football. Who's coming out gay lately? Basketball, football.
Who's
black young men coming out saying that they're homosexual. Now, not only did they come out, and you got to believe it, it's a lot of white people that's gay in those fields too, or in other sports. But when it was black men, they put it on the magazines. They made the primetime shows about it. It was all over ESPN. It was all over the internet. They even did a study on people's reaction from Michael Sam coming out as gay. So you have to begin to think about it, that black people are being pushed somewhat in the forefront of this gay movement because, for one, it works in their favor. A black man, the worst fear, and I keep telling people this, the worst fear of a white society or powers that be, whatever you want to call it, is a heterosexual, strong, intelligent black man. Because that man is going to be, he's going to be more likely to do certain things. He's going to be likely to maybe be more radical for his community. He's going to be likely to not back down. He's going to be manipulated. He's going to build more families and raise marry women and raise black families. And he's going to be less likely to mess with white women. You got to look at all those things. So if you can get them to be gay, you knock out a whole bunch of birds with one stone.
Can I also come in and add to what you said? And it's not to kind of contradict what you say. It's kind of in line with it, but it's looking at it from another view. I think the most feared thing from society, when you look at it from a strategic point of view, is the black woman. Because let's say the black woman is highly attracted to, you know, women have more. How can I say it? They have more concerns for the nation because their kids grow up in the nation. They're the ones taking care of these kids. They're the ones who are more scared what will happen when they're walking down the street or their children are walking down the street. So should there be an exceptional desire for black women by black men, they can construct. Okay, for example, if black women start saying, we want a black man with a job, we want a black man with money, we want a thug, we want, then you're going to see a whole nation of black men turn into thugs and trying to get the jobs because they're trying to appease to that spouse. So if we have a whole nation of black women saying, we want a change in our society, we want a revolution, you're going to see a whole bunch of black men change their attitudes in order to impress women, because we know a lot of things black men do in normal society is to appease to the spouse. So I think the downgrading of black women, the making them the, how can I say it, the thing that you shouldn't get onto or you shouldn't be attracted to, is what they are actually trying to do. This is why black women are not promoted as much as you might see the average black man get time on air. I wanted to throw in one thing. I don't believe that people are born gay, and I, you know, there's no evidence to prove that. But it does not necessarily mean I believe it's a choice, because sometimes some things might be psychological, you know, which means that it's not in the forefront of your mind, but it's what you've grown up with, the images that are being pumped in your head, you seeing this, you just see a gay couple just maybe once in your life, but that image might be somewhere embedded in your brain and might alter how you choose to grow up. And I don't know your research looked into any of that.
Well, I wanted to say about what you said about the black women. Right. That's, in my opinion, that's true, but it's also, it's kind of in between. Because if you can affect the black man, see, they always go after the leader first. If you can get the leader, then you can make everything else fall. So they needed to get the black man out the house first. And then there's all the social and political pressure on black men. Just look at how many black men are in the prison system right now. So the initial attack is on black men. It's on black men's masculinity and sexuality. Go back to slavery. What did they want to do? They wanted to humiliate black men. They wanted to make them less than. They wanted to make them slaves. They couldn't be fathers and husbands. They had to go to the masters for everything, the women and the children. They could rape your woman right in front of you. So it was all to emasculate black men. It was all to take their sexuality, because they are scared of black male sexuality when it comes to their women. So it's a lot of different facets to it. And also I wanted to say,
Carry on. No, I just wanted to ask, I forgot. All right, carry on if I remember that. I forgot my question.
But to add to what she was saying, that's where that whole castration come through. I mean, I've never seen another race of people so fascinated by another race of people's genitalia. So they would castrate black.
Exactly. And people don't look at that. It's all a jealousy thing, if you really look at it. And they don't want their, that's why I said, if you can get a black man to become gay, you can do a lot of things. Because if you are gay, and I'm sorry, I'm not trying to hurt nobody's feelings, but think about it. You're easier to manipulate. You're less intimidating. You're less threatening. That's why if you look in a lot of companies, you will see gay black men tend to excel higher in workplaces. They tend to get a lot of promotions or have certain higher jobs because they're less threatening than a heterosexual, strong black man, because they feel like, okay, well, we can manipulate. We have something over him. He's not completely, as the other caller said, he's not completely a man. So we can, we don't, we're not worried about him. He's not a, he's not a care to us. He's not a threat to us. And the thing about it is, what I find very, what I find very sad is that we're not looking at what's really going on. There's a lot of gay black men out here. And just even through my research and seeing all of these things, and another thing we're not talking about is HIV. That's killing off black gay men like it's going out of style. They just came out just recently with the numbers that said, if you were a gay black man and you have had sex, because you have sex with men by the age of 18,
yo. Sub Rock coming back. Word out, word out. Kick this out to my man Rob Swinger, Hot Dog, Dinky, Manager Butt, Ev Lover, you know what I'm saying? Dr. No. Here we go.
That's
the hitman, yes, the hitman, yo, you know it. The first cruncher, the man on the sequencer. He was here to kick a 16 bar. He's not a rap star, not saying that I am, but on the jam I'm gonna kick a little, not a Dr. Seuss riddle. No caps and hats, box and some socks. Back to the DJ jocks, check your clock.
So you mean say if men do that, you know, fuck me?
I never said that, you know, but you don't know, man.
Men are no, men are really.
What do you?
It just, it speaks.
All right, man, I'll go with it.
No, wait, no.
Me no love gal we shy, inna the folk. Gal fi get mad man, cocky till he broke. One life you live, gal fi live it up. If I fuck your love, fuck then walk like dog. Broke out. Nosey. Dash out. All of this up for them.
Control the key for the city. Girl, you're well clean, but your ass dirty. From your pussy to your mouth, then between your titty.
I'm like the bucket soap, 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 b
make me mix smarter. Baby, me hear you mix smarter.
When me a bed over, me a wine and cut. Inna the air, me a wine and cut.
Now the girls talk, just tell me wine and cut.
Girl, you know you love it, tell me wine and cut.
Take a premium love when you wine and cut. Position like a double do, wine and cut. Wine up your good body, girl, punch all the blood. You got the gift, 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 so come wine and cut.
I actually have a very deep opinion on this. I
am actually in the process of building a documentary on this very topic. I've actually went kind of had a interesting conversation with one of the gay shows that's on Blog Talk the other night.
Okay.
So it's been interesting. But I wanted to say that, first of all, I'm somebody who looks at the facts and the figures and the numbers. And not to say that those numbers are always right, but we still have to look at that. And so people were talking about whether people are born gay or it's a choice. Well, in 2003, mm-hmm. they finished mapping the human genome. There was no mm-hmm. gene. There was nothing that they could find that leads to homosexuality, that has anything to do with homosexuality. They could not find it. You know, everybody keeps saying, and I could give you all the research, I could give you the data, I could give you the scientist's name. In fact, the original scientist who was looking into it, he himself was homosexual. He claims to have found it. That's when this whole thing came about. But he later admitted that he did not find it, and no one, even his colleagues, no one could ever find this that supposedly he had found. And even himself admitted that he lied about that. There's been no gay gene. There is no gay gene. It's a choice. It's a sexual choice. Now, what we have to understand is what's going on right now. And that is that it's been going on forever, but they're just putting it in a new direction. And that is an attack on black male masculinity and sexuality. Now, a lot of people don't know this. They don't know this. But the black community has the largest number of LGBT people. Think about that. We have the largest numbers than any other race for our percentage of the population. Our percentage is 5%, whereas I believe white people's is something like 3.6% or something like that, 3.4%. We have 5%. Every other race is way lower than us. Why? This is not by mistake. This is not by coincidence. It's not by maybe. This is by design.
Well, hold on, ma'am. What were you got the largest percentage of? I missed that part.
LGBT people in our community.
Okay.
And then you have to think about it, though. The people, and even the people were saying in the study that they really think the numbers are higher because a lot of black men, a lot of black people, are not going to put that down and say that they are a part of that community, especially the ones who we talked about like DL and all that kind of thing. So the numbers would actually probably be quite a bit higher. And we're not really looking at that. And black people, as I've said this before, black people are reactors and not proactive. We don't proact on things. We just react. So we wait till it gets to a level to where there's so much going on, and then we want to fuss about it. And then we want to say, oh, my gosh, what's happening? Instead of looking at what's going on and then doing something. The fact of the matter is that all of this is, I'm not going to say all of this, but a big major part of this is a result of things put in place in 1960. And that was to promote single mothers in the black community. If you all know, you know, the government was going to pay for your housing, your food, all of this kind of stuff, going to school, anything. They began helping people in the 60s. But there was a stipulation. You could not have a man in that house. And they would come at any time to look in your house. You would not know. They would sneak up on you. So, therefore, if you had a man, or if they saw any men's things in your home, you were automatically cut off. So a lot of men voluntarily would move out of the home because it was hard getting jobs then. So in order to take care of his family, and he knew they needed that assistance, it became tough. And that is one of the mass exodus of black men out of the home because it was a situation. So when you take that and you add that with young men, and it's well known and well documented that children's first teacher is their parent, right? And children emulate their same-sex parent. So if you emulate your same-sex parent, what do you do as a little black boy and you don't have a daddy there? Who are you to emulate? You don't just make up in your mind a man. you begin to emulate your mother. So what happens is they begin to pick up certain effeminate behaviors and things like that. Now, I did a lot of research on this. Some of the guys said that what happened is they became more effeminate from being raised by mama, grandma, auntie, sisters, all around them. No real male solid influence. Then people would begin to tell them, you act like a girl. You're the F word. You're a sissy. They would tell them things like that. When you are young, you are very impressionable. It made, for some of the guys, they said it made a big impact on them, and they began to think maybe that's what they are, because they are more feminine. Right. They're not more masculine. And it's a thing of when you make suggestions to people at a young age, that can begin to foster an image in their mind. And before you know it, right, once you take that step over so far as to have sex with another man, then a lot of times they just say, well, I guess this is what I am. I guess I'm gay. And so them being and not having that connection, now when they feel other people like them, then they believe, okay, well, this is what I am. When the reality is, right, there are effeminate straight men. There are masculine women. But a lot of times in our society, we don't allow that, and we kind of push that. And that's where we get such even higher numbers of gay people. I also want to say really quickly that if you look at what's going on now, look at the two sports, look at hip-hop, and then look at sports. Black men, two things that black men overwhelmingly participate in is very masculine, very dominant with black men, very masculine. Okay, look, what two sports? Basketball, football. Who's come out gay lately? Basketball, football.
Who's
black young
sports?
Men coming out saying that they're homosexual. Now, not only did they come out, and you got to believe this, it's a lot of white people that's gay in those fields too, or in other sports. But when it was black men, they put it on the magazines. They made the primetime shows about it. It was all over ESPN. It was all over the internet. They even did a study on people's reaction from Michael Sam coming out as gay. So you have to begin to think about it, that black people are being pushed somewhat in the forefront of this gay movement because, for one, it works in their favor. A black man, the worst fear, and I keep telling people this, the worst fear of a white society or powers that be, whatever you want to call it, is a heterosexual, strong, intelligent black man. Because that man is going to be, he's going to be more likely to do certain things. He's going to be likely to maybe be more radical for his community. He's going to be likely to not back down. He's going to be manipulated. He's going to build more families and raise marry women and raise black families. And he's going to be less likely to mess with white women. You got to look at all those things. So if you can get them to be gay, you knock out a whole bunch of birds with one stone.
Can I also come in and add to what you said? And it's not to kind of contradict what you say. It's kind of in line with it, but it's looking at it from another view. I think the most feared thing from society, when you look at it from a strategic point of view, is the black woman. Because let's say the black woman is highly attracted to, you know, women have more, how can I say it? They have more concerns for the nation because their kids grow up in the nation. They're the ones taking care of these kids. They're the ones who are more scared what will happen when they're walking down the street or their children are walking down the street. So should there be an exceptional desire for black women by black men, they can construct. Okay, for example, if black women start saying, we want a black man with a job, we want a black man with money, we want a thug, we want, then you're going to see a whole nation of black men turn into thugs and trying to get the jobs because they're trying to appease to that spouse. So if we have a whole nation of black women saying, we want a change in our society, we want a revolution, you're going to see a whole bunch of black men change their attitudes in order to impress women, because we know a lot of things black men do in normal society is to appease to the spouse. So I think the downgrading of black women, the making them the how can I say it? The thing that you shouldn't get onto or you shouldn't be attracted to is what they are actually trying to do. This is why black women are not promoted as much as you might see the average black man get time on air. I wanted to throw in one thing. I don't believe that people, I don't believe people are born gay, and I, you know, there's no evidence to prove that. But it does not necessarily mean I believe it's a choice, because sometimes some things might be psychological, you know, which means that it's not in your, in the forefront of your mind, but it's what you've grown up with, the images that are being pumped in your head, you seeing this, you just see a gay couple just maybe once in your life, but that image might be somewhere embedded in your brain and might alter how you choose to grow up. And I don't know if your research looked into any of that.
Well, I wanted to say about what you said about the black women. Right. That's, in my opinion, that's true, but it's also, it's kind of in between. Because if you can affect the black men, see, they always go after the leader first. If you can get the leader, then you can make everything else fall. So they needed to get the black man out the house first. And then there's all the social and political pressure on black men. Just look at how many black men are in the prison system right now. So the initial attack is on black men. It's on black men's masculinity and sexuality. Go back to slavery. What did they want to do? They wanted to humiliate black men. They wanted to make them less than. They wanted to make them slaves. They couldn't be fathers and husbands. They had to go to the master for everything, the women and the children. They could rape your woman right in front of you. So it was all to emasculate black men. It was all to take their sexuality, because they are scared of black male sexuality when it comes to their women. So it is a lot of different facets to it. And also I wanted to say,
carry on. No, I just wanted to ask, I forgot. All right, carry on if I remember that. I forgot my question.
To add to what she was saying, that's where the whole castration come through. I mean, I've never seen another race of people so fascinated by another race of people's genitalia. So they would castrate black.
Exactly. And people don't look at that. It's all a jealousy thing, if you really look at it. And they don't want their... That's why I said, if you can get a black man to become gay, you can do a lot of things. Because if you are gay, and I'm sorry, I'm not trying to hurt nobody's feelings, but think about it. You're easier to manipulate. You're less intimidating. You're less threatening. That's why if you look in a lot of companies, you will see gay black men tend to excel higher in workplaces. They tend to get a lot of promotions or have certain higher jobs because they're less threatening than a heterosexual, strong black man, because they feel like, okay, well, we can manipulate. We have something over him. He's not completely, as the other caller said, he's not completely a man. So we're not worried about him. He's not a character to us. He's not a threat to us. And the thing about it is what I find very sad is that we're not looking at what's really going on. There's a lot of gay black men out here. And just even through my research and seeing all of these things, and another thing we're not talking about is HIV. That's killing off black gay men like it's going out of style. They just came out just recently with the numbers that said, if you are a gay black man and you have had sex, begun to have sex with men by the age of 18.
Yeah, greetings. Welcome to the Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob. Finally, my guest has shown up. That's cool. Better late than never. Is that okay, Renee?
You said what? I'm sorry.
I said better late than never.
Yes, I was putting the phone to my feet. I'm so sorry, everybody.
Well, you throw me some time, so I come collecting. So I ain't playing no games here. I come collecting.
Okay.
Okay, what you just heard, I just kind of want you to pick up where that left off, and I want you to go straight into it on what you, because you said you were doing a new video on black lesbians. So pick up where that left.
And I'm going to send you that here in a little bit. But, basically where that left off at was saying that they recently said, came out and said if you are 18, this was HIV research, that if you are sexually a gay black man sexually active by the age of 18, that most of them, which is they didn't say a specific number that I know of. It was, so most is going to be 51% to 99%, you know, anywhere in that range, I guess. But most will have HIV by the time they are 30 years old. So if you, you know, if you think about that, that's pretty devastating. You know, there's a lot of lot being said about that. They're also saying very soon with the HIV numbers how they are, then that I believe all gay men, out of all gay men, 50% will have HIV by the time they're 50, if they, you know, live that long. But something I ask people about, and I did get a couple gay black men actually that made videos on this, and I was so surprised to see it. But think about how many elderly, older black gay men do you see in your community?
Oh, there's a few.
You know,
there's a few. I see a few. And because, okay, where I live, I see a few of them bouncing around, so to speak. And They get flack from a lot of the younger people.
Well, see, this is the thing. I'm gonna put it like this. You don't tend to see higher numbers of gay black men that are older, and in my opinion, anyway. But this gay guy, was talking about this, and he had made a video, and he was touching on that. And, you know, they were trying to, it was some other gay people, and they were trying to figure out, what is that from? Is it that because they don't tend to live as longer? Is it because of the social stigma, maybe from their era, or so on and so forth? Well, one of the gay guys was pretty much on the wavelength that I feel, is that, you know, there's some kind of disconnect there. And one of the things is black men already have shorter lifespan as is, you know. And just even if you think about from all the stress it is to be a black man, you think about a lot of the eating habits and things like that. But when you factor in another, element that is typically unhealthy, that is typically destructive, you think you're adding on to the list. So in my opinion, I don't think there's a lot of older gay black men for the sense that maybe they don't tend to live as long. And so, you know, there are studies that also say that, you know, gay men tend to live 8 to 20 years less than heterosexual men. You know, men with women, or that they live a third shorter lives than heterosexual men. So there's real, real actual data available that's out there. And one of the studies they did with people from Sweden I was looking at. So if you think about that environment, which is, you know, healthy, so to speak, you know, you would think, and, you know, the people are typically more sports with homosexuality. So there's definitely an element, y'all. And I would just say start paying attention. Do you see that this type of lifestyle fosters longevity? And to me, it just does not seem that way.
You know what? Let me say this real quick. You know, some people don't think that lifestyle is unhealthy. Okay? And I hear people
right.
say that they love each other, and having someone to love can help you live longer. You know, so that's kind of like what we're kind of caught up in. And then also
yeah.
you got a lot of the older generation is trying to say, oh, okay, well, just that's them people leading them alone. But I heard you mention something earlier how that we can't keep saying that. We got to go ahead and deal with this. This is a problem.
It is a problem. you know, a lot of times, and you know what, I admit that I can be very harsh at times or how I come across and everything, but.
Wait, hold on. If you tell the truth, fuck what everybody else is saying, okay? I want you to keep that in your mind. Fuck what everybody's saying. If you tell the truth, fuck them.
Yeah. But, you know, what I was saying earlier and what I had, you know, mentioned to other people before is that if you pay attention to the gay rights movement, so to speak, and gay marriage and things like that, or, you know, just kind of in general, I guess, that you'll hear them speaking to the public, you will hear them make an emphasis on love. And they will say, we are in love, we are in love, and that's what it's about. You can't stop me, or you shouldn't try to stop someone from loving someone else, and so on and so forth. Now, that's great, and it's wonderful. But see, that's kind of like a code word, right? It's really like a trick word, really is what it is. Because when you speak about love, you know, that elicits a positive emotional response in most people. You're going to think of something good and you know, happy, and you're going to say, oh, well.
Okay, wait. Let me stop you again. So you ain't thinking about the but two guys, one guy's licking out the other guy's butt.
Exactly. And see, that's what, you know, something, and talking to the gay people that I have and understanding some things, it seems that that's the furthest, that's the last thing they want you to think about. Because some of them have said to me, well, you don't like it or you're against it or whatever because you're thinking about how we have sex. Or they say, people think about how we have sex, and that makes them not like it or whatever. And, yes, I mean, that's an element. That's a big element of that. But what I say to that is, you cannot, if you are coming in and you say, I am a homosexual, I'm a man and I like men, how can you then separate what that means? You know what I mean? That means that you have sex with men. Typically, that's, you're attracted to and have sex with men. So if you are engaging with them, then let's be realistic. This is what's going down. So to me, it's hard to separate that from them, but they don't want you to think that. That's why they will say love. They will push love and any positive.
Check this out. They want you to think love and all that other stuff, and like me running around with my lady friends, they want you to think that and try to go ahead and equate that with the same thing. But they ain't going ahead and saying, hey, look, I licked out another man's ass, and hey,
right,
drink out the same glass. I can't drink out the same glass with you. I mean, hey, okay, right. Every now and then I smoke. Hey, you want to go ahead and pass that? No, brother, you keep your cigarettes or whatever, do you? We can't share that. I don't know what you got left on your lip.
Right, exactly. Exactly, though. But that's it. You know, they don't, they don't want you thinking about that. Because they know that if people think about that, no matter what they do in their own bedroom, that gives a person, you know, a certain thought. You know, when you think about a man, especially some of these men now that are big men. I mean, they're big, muscular men. And, you know,
ooh,
you would have thought they were.
Ooh, man, sometimes.
You know, you
oh, I know. Believe me, I know. I go to the gym. When I was living in California, it was part of every now and then I go here and go to a friend's house and let me go work out. And they take me to a gym, and every now and then you come across some big, I mean, dude, I'm like, damn, man, this dude, man, look at him. He's small, bigger than me. I'm like, jealous. But I come to find out, you know, I'm looking at this dude, and then he might call his boyfriend or go here and be looking around. And he a whole lot bigger than me. Arms two times my size, chest out there. And he calling his boyfriend. And trust me.
Yeah.
I've seen it a whole lot of times, and I also spent some time in Sacramento, California, and then I have friends who live in San Francisco and Oakland. So every now and then we go over to San Francisco to a couple of gyms, and I've seen it a lot of times. I'm like, this big old dude got a boyfriend? What the fuck is going on?
Yes, You know, and that's the thing. So when you're looking at a man like that, and you're like, what? You know, for me as a woman anyway, I'm like, oh, my gosh. You know, when you think about how they're interacting with each other. And so they don't want, see, that's the last thing. They want to distance that thought from your mind. They want to distance all the things that we've kind of been associating with homosexuality for so long and the real parts about it. They don't want to emphasize that. They don't want to put that out there. So they focus on saying things like we're in love. They focus saying things on, you know, we want to build a family.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things that I can go ahead and say that they've gone ahead and taken it to where they want you to go ahead. It's a distraction, you know. And the whole thing, to me, the whole gay marriage thing is a distraction for black folks in all together.
Absolutely.
To go ahead and keep on pushing that and to be a part of that is putting us further and further behind on getting treated like human beings in this country.
Absolutely.
And that's where I got a problem, because I don't usually do shows on stuff like this. I don't usually go ahead and do shows about relationships and stuff like that. But, you know, listening to you and the clip I was playing earlier about you made me go ahead and say, hey, look, I think I need to get involved. Because it's really...
Yeah, I mean...
It's really sad that we were not paying attention to the bigger picture. This is just a distraction. So they had the civil rights movement and all that other stuff. We're going to ever get civil rights. Really, recently they had the Washington 50-year march in Washington, and I seen a picture of Denzel Washington, and the caption was, "Hey, after 50 years and all you doing is marching for jobs." And for me, I'm like, you keep your fucking job. We need businesses.
Yeah.
We need our own industry. We need to start dealing with them and they shit. And I want to go ahead and lay the seed right now, because I want you to touch on the making gay marriage acceptable universally, especially in Africa.
Okay.
Because the thing about, I know some people in Uganda right now, and what they're saying in the news is contrary to what they're saying on the ground.
Yes. Absolutely.
It's contrary to what they're saying on the ground. Pretty much, and Obama is part of it. If you don't accept homosexuality in Africa, they don't want to give you aid. So for me, and I've started my nonprofit foundation to get our people involved in farming and agriculture. I would like to go ahead and say, hey, look, fuck these people. If you don't want to deal with us, we no longer want to go ahead and provide you with food, oil, gold, diamonds. We want to go ahead and take over them industries because you don't be... I got 90 seconds left. Sister, you came a little late.
I'm sorry. I will come back whenever.
Yeah, we'll do it tomorrow. But I want you to touch on that Uganda thing.
I will.
Them going ahead and trying to basically get us to kill each other.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, the root of it is genocide. You know what I mean? That's the root. That's the eventual plan, you know, amongst everything else. But, you know, they're trying to give Uganda a bad name. And like you said, there is a conflict of what they're trying to say and what's really going on. And it's basically...
You know what? Here's something else. In Uganda, a man can go ahead and have as many wives as he can afford.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also a problem for them.
Mm-hmm.
That's also
mm-hmm.
a big
yes.
for the gays that's there.
Yes.
And whites have been coming in, going to Uganda, and it's horrible. Whites have been coming in into Uganda and going ahead, well, to Africa, period, and going ahead and, you know, they're coming there for sex, men and women.
Right.
Boys and girls, and they're trying to get in. The youngest sex is the better. And the thing that bugs me so much is that I see this thing about AIDS. They keep pushing that AIDS thing. It's like, AIDS is prevalent in Africa. It's all over the place. But I really feel that the AIDS came from the outside. There was a white woman coming from England. She became HIV positive from having heterosexual sex with a guy she knew, white man. And she tried to say, hey, look, she only thought it was amongst black folks.
Wow. And see, you know, that's the thing, too. people in Africa, they want you to believe that it was gotten by ill ways. It was actually not. A lot of the problem with HIV in Africa is access to care. They don't have access to care. They don't have access to proper nutrition, and all of those things accumulated, and they don't have the information about what was going on before it was spread to the level it spread. And so when people don't know what they have, and they're continuing to go on.
I saw this thing where what happened was America was also part of it, and Europe was also part of it. When it came in and sponsored these vaccinations for smallpox and other stuff, what it was it to break down the immune system, and they were also injecting people with this thing that the gorilla population had, and the chimpanzees, and what they had was a form of AIDS, but they didn't get AIDS. And the thing is, I'm looking at it, and I can go ahead and accept that because looking at how the Europeans, period, I don't give a damn if you're born in America, whatever, you're still European, you belong over there, you don't belong in Africa and all this other. These people have done everything possible to wipe out the indigenous population of areas and other populations. And each time I look up, I go ahead and see, and hey, look, they're just trying to wipe out the minority, the so-called minority population in an area that they've taken over, like America.
Yes.
There was people here to greet them when they got here. So they've done real well at going ahead and wiping out the so-called Indians here, but they have done also pretty good at going ahead and fucking us up.
But this is what people don't understand. This is what a lot of people in the world don't understand, a lot of black people especially, is that in terms of the world, white people are a very small part of the population.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many other races and ethnicities across the world. So if you are, less than in population, but you have access to money, you have access to resources, you have access to other elements to further your cause, to further your race or whatever, then you're going to use it. This is exactly what they are doing. Because, in like I said, in terms of the world, I mean, to be white is not, the primary. I mean, there's so many other races and ethnicities. But because so many African-Americans here, we don't think in terms of that, and a lot of us don't know that. And so, unfortunately, also because of how we've been kind of taught, we look to white people as the almighty powerful.
We've been indoctrinated into thinking that the white man is it, and that's everything because you live in America. So
that's
the higher power. That's it. They got all the power.
Yes.
And in a way, it's true.
Yes.
Okay.
But in a way,
hold on. They got most of the money here in America. White wealth is 20 times greater than black wealth.
Absolutely.
White wealth is, I think, like 8 times greater than Asian wealth. And white wealth is about 12 times greater than Hispanic wealth in America. So when you go ahead and you look at that stuff there, they got money, they got resources, they got wealth.
Mm-hmm.
It's different than it's different than being rich. You go here and get rich,
right.
You can go and go up and go down. When you got wealth, you got money to come back, you got some resources
That's
to
right.
fall back on. They got all kinds of stuff, and we don't know the game. We need to learn the goddamn game so we can go ahead and deal with this situation. We're not dealing with it in the correct way.
But black people don't want to know the game.
Because everybody wants. What you said is so true. They don't want to know the game because they've been indoctrinated into the bullshit. Fantasy
yes,
materialism.
Yes, because everybody wants to do what they want to do, and they're concerned with self. That is why black people don't want to know the game. Because when you tell black people something, and I, as a black woman, even all the research and studies that I've done and stuff like that, find out a lot of my information. When I tell certain, you know, percentage of black people that I talk to about this, they always want to challenge me. They want to tell me, that's not true. You're not. No, it's not. This, that, and the other. And that's one of the things is black people, we don't like to listen to other black people. When you look at other races, they tend to have more trust within each other, and they're going to listen to another white person before they listen to you. But at the same time, they put it on things that are of importance. See, we listen to each other for stupid things. We listen to each other for frivolous things. But things that are important, that mean something, and that have value to it, we don't want to hear it from another black person. We'll want to hear it from a white person to tell us our own history or tell us what's going on in our own community. And I've talked to black people about, for instance, when Dr. Dre gave the $35 million to USC. And there were so many black people who said, so what? It's his money. He can do what he wants with it. But see,
isn't it crazy?
It's crazy because that's what I said. We don't learn the game. Look at Jewish people. When they get their money, what do? Send it to Israel. Send it to help the Jewish community and so that they have their own schools and they maintain their own, you know, customs and traditions and values and what they are based in for their religion and their way of life. But for black people, do we do that? No, because if you make it, guess what? You made it. See you niggas, I'm out of here, and see you on the flip side. And that's what we do. And nobody requires anything of a black person who is wealthy, who is in a high position. We don't require anything from them. And that's exactly why we stay where we are, because we don't learn the game.
You know what? It ain't just the Jews. It's every other group but black Americans.
Exactly.
Let's make that distinction.
The Mexicans do it, too. Yep.
The Mexicans do it, too. Even brothers and sisters come from the Caribbean, send stuff back.
Yes.
Okay?
Absolutely.
Because I know. I've been around them. I know. I worked around
Absolutely.
A bunch of Filipinos at one time. And every time I look,
oh,
I was
yes.
like, oh, I got to go ahead and send money back. Okay, hey, look.
Absolutely.
One guy I used to work with, he's like, hey, man, my car broke down. I need you to take me over to the, you know, the place to go ahead and send money.
Mm-hmm.
And he would go ahead and send money back to the Philippines. And I'm like, wait, we don't get mm-hmm. that part? We don't get that thing?
Yeah. But see, that's the thing, though. A lot of them are not told to do it or made to do it, obviously. They feel that within themselves because this is how they were brought up. This is a tradition and a custom for their community and for their race. And they know, okay, this is what we do. This is customary, and I know that this is what I need to do as a man. I need to send money to my village. I need to send money back home as I'm making money. And there's that automatic
obligation. The Filipino cats, you know, they had stores back home. Even some Mexicans I know, they got stores back
right.
in their town, and they go ahead and they want to go ahead and keep that up. Because they,
right.
a lot of times they say, hey, look, I'm just here and wait till my retirement date, and I'm leaving.
Yes.
And a lot of us
yep.
is like, okay, well, we wait till our retirement date, and it's like, okay, now what do I do next? We
mm-hmm.
have no clue
mm-hmm.
as to what the game is all about because we have no loyalty to each other and family. These people pay attention to what it means to be family. There's a difference.
Right.
We have
but
no
see,
loyalty.
You know that.
They have no. We have no. A lot. I won't say we because for me, my dad was born in the Caribbean and my mom was from Mississippi. So I can understand a lot of stuff my dad used to go ahead and his family try to go ahead and do. Even though I disagree with some of the shit they say, they act like right-wingers, Republican types. But my mom's
mm-hmm.
family, I can identify with a lot of stuff they say. But still, it's mixed up. It's mixed up for me at times when I'm like, you talk about family, but to a certain point, but your family's not really doing shit. But when I listen to
right.
my people, they go here and they're like, okay, well, hey, there was a hurricane came through. Give me your money. We need to go ahead and send
yeah.
money back. You know, and it's like, okay, well, down in Mississippi where my mom's family came from, it's like, okay, well, there's a natural disaster. Okay, well, I hope them niggas doing fine. That's where
you Uh-huh. Look, that'd be like the Red Cross and stuff that's going down there.
Yeah, you know, and it'd be
mm-hmm.
puzzling to me. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking
yep.
about?
Yep. Yeah, but that's, you know, that's what it is, and it's just the reality of black people, of what we got going on, and, you know, it's sad to say, but, hey, it's realistic, you know, that we don't have that same care and concern for each other, and it is what it is, And I would love to, I'm so sorry about everything to have today, but I will, you know, redo this with you or whatever, because I really want to talk about that and about Black lesbians and how this is really affecting our community. Because all of this.
Yeah, you know, we're going to cut it kind of short because we're in overtime right now. But I wanted to go ahead.
Okay.
As long as we're talking, come on back. I've been on Blog Talk for a number of years. I think I'm one of the oldest accounts here. Okay.
Oh, wow.
So I've heard a lot of these people. I've seen a lot of people come and go, and then people with good ideas, but they don't follow them up. And the biggest thing is we need resources. Everybody
yeah.
talks about going ahead. Let me ask you a couple of questions before we go.
Okay.
What do you think about the idea about reparations and the idea of nation building or nationhood for Black Americans?
I'm actually with it quite a bit, but there has to be boundaries set in. There has to be a focus. There has to be something else. It just can't be just doing whatever and giving whatever. Now, as far as reparations, yes, I do believe that we're not going to be made whole, so to speak, but we should have received something substantial for what our people have went through. And no, nobody living now was the ones who were the slaves and so on and so forth. However, when trauma happens, that passes down generation after generation. And not only has that trauma been passed down, but just in the continuing way of life we are today is a result of everything that has happened to Black people from the start in this country. It's all a result of it, everything today, because we never had an equal playing field. We're not even maintained anything of who we were originally. And that's worth something. That's priceless, actually. It's priceless. But, you know, being that this is a capitalist country and that money talks, then Black people here should have received funds. And we still should receive funds. You look at, was it the Asians that was it the Koreans specifically, who were in internment camps in, was it California?
Japanese,
okay. And they were paid, you know. And it's like, why not us? And not only were we never paid, we continue to get discrimination.
Let me show you what happened to Japanese, because it blew my mind when I started looking at it. The Japanese Americans got reparations. Not because
mm-hmm.
of the Japanese Americans was real vocal and voiced their opinion. No. The Japanese government, period.
Right.
Said, hey, look, mm-hmm. you need to hook them up. Take care of them. If you don't, we're not gonna keep fucking with you. Because they over here, they had also brought land in one period over here. They was also
mm-hmm.
helping keep the US economy going. This is one reason I criticize individuals who go ahead and say, I'm not going back to Africa. I'm American. I'm born here. I'm born in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid nonsense. Mm-hmm. If we don't go ahead and get guys back to Africa where our roots come from, we're going to be lost. We need to go ahead and get
Forever.
Control of those resources, because those resources are keeping a lot of places afloat. No diamond mine in Africa is owned by any Black person. They're owned by Jews. No oil well is owned by any Black individual over there or any Black group. In Nigeria has I think they're fifth on the list in terms of the oil reserves. But all they're doing is leasing the land. They're not doing like the Arabs doing. The Arabs are leasing. They own the oil wells. They own the oil rigs. They also process and refine the oil. These niggas are not doing that. And that's one reason they have a lot of problems, because they're going ahead and allowing groups like from Texas, Shell Oil, and all these other groups to come
mm-hmm.
over there
mm-hmm.
tell them how to do things. And it's sad. And something else I saw, because I got a few cousins that's over there. I got a couple of cousins that's over there in Nigeria. And these fools are over there siphoning in the oil. And then turn around and pirating the oil and selling it to other individuals. You'd be shocked.
Wow.
This even, man, oh my goodness.
Wow.
You know, when I found that out, when when my cousin was telling me how you making his money, I was like, nigga, are you crazy? You actually
I mean,
stealing
and the
from yourself.
Part is, these are all resources from our land. This is from our land, people. The diamond mines, the oil, this is from our land. But just to wrap up your question that you said about reparations, the thing about it, though, is to just give out money, no. We need people in a position who have a real economic mind and background and who can broker a deal that is able to set us up to do what we need to do as a community. So it's not about just giving somebody a check, because all that is going to go right back in their pocket. And that's
right.
The problem is we are the biggest spenders. But we don't. That money does not stay in our communities. It doesn't stay in the hood. It goes out the hood. So
it
we
does.
Need
it
to,
does. I saw this thing. I saw a graphic or picture, what have you, on the different countries that have not set up a banking system based off what the Rothschilds have set up, and on that list it was all the Russia, China, Venezuela, Cuba. I can't remember all of Iceland. All of these countries, the U.S. got problems with.
Right, exactly.
I mean, think about
exactly.
that for a minute. The U.S. got countries with all these problems who don't go in and set up a banking system based off what the Rothschilds have set up. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
So you're not going ahead. These countries are not at odds with the U.S. because of U.S. policies. Mm-hmm. They're at odds with the Rothschilds, and the Rothschilds own the purse strings for the U.S.
Right.
And that's real sad.
That's the thing about it. Like I said, if they just gave us money, it's nothing. It's nothing. Let's be clear. It's nothing. America's not broke. That's number one. But it's nothing for them to give us a check. That's nothing, because they know we're going to get all that back. Them Negroes ain't going to do nothing with it. They're not going to start nothing with it. They're not going to create nothing, so we're going to get it back. So that's the thing. We don't need to just be handed a check. That's the last thing we need. But nation building, I am one who is for separating. I am one who is for resegregating.
Oh, are you really? Really?
I am. And I will tell you why. When I say that, I don't mean in the sense of nobody white can come here, we can't go there. But what I mean by that is...
Wait. I'm for that.
You're for that?
Because
okay.
they had a system where nobody black can come here and cross the line, so I'm all for it.
Hey, but see, what I think about it is, as black people, we got to remember, okay, we will never be equal to them in their eyes. It's not going to happen. Forget it.
Right.
Close the door, close the book. It's not going to happen. See, we keep putting our focus on trying to live up to, so to speak, them and trying to compete with them and be on a level with them. That's not going to happen. It's never going to happen. We got to focus on us. So we've got to turn that energy within to our community to build our own things. There's absolutely no reason we should have Koreans and Iranians running our chicken shops and hair stores and liquor stores in our community, becoming millionaires, making big money, sending their kids to medical school, sending their kids to school for engineering. Meanwhile, Pookie and Ray Ray is going up here every day, spending $10, $15, $20, $30 a day every day, and their kids is going to down the street to the public school, getting the education that they want you to get, so to speak. It's not an education. So, and then their kids will be lucky if they get a job driving a bus or something one day. Let's keep it real.
Their kids will be lucky if they get a job going ahead working for the Koreans or Iranians.
Exactly, because they don't hire us. They're not going to hire us. And that's the sick and sad part about it. No other race does this bullshit that we do in the black community. You think a Jewish community is going to let a black motherfucker come up in there, open up a Jewish store that sells their stuff, that they, you know, their food products are things. Open up a Jewish market, okay, a black man. Do you think they going to let that go down and not say nothing?
No.
Okay. And have black people moving in there and having all these restaurants, Jewish restaurants, okay, ran by black people. It wouldn't happen. It would never happen. Why are we doing that? Why are we allowing this to happen? This shows how battered and used and broken we are as a people. We're just
one of the problems that I got is when individuals go ahead, I don't know how Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, Cornel West, NAACP, Urban League, and groups and all that bullshit, how they become our spokespersons. I don't get it when I don't see. And you can go ahead and look 1 year back, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, even as old as the NAACP, 100 years, they have never, ever done anything to uplift our people. They've never gone ahead and come to say, okay, well, we know that, hey, look, we need money. We collected money. So let's go ahead and take that money and go ahead and create an industry or go ahead and put together a plan to lift us up economically. They've never done that. And I got it's another buddy of mine. I love his campaign. I love his campaign about going against the NAACP because he found out just how much BS they were because he was an official.
Mm.
So he put it out there on how it's all for money. NAACP, you know, was started by white folks. I don't understand that. But NAACP is a group like tonight, like now. Today, I'm still curious as to what happens after they file their lawsuits and this and that. I mean, the money, I don't get it. The money is just to go to them. These people mean us more harm than good. And one of the things that I think we need to do is not so much to go ahead and attack white folks for what they've done. We need to attack the niggas from within at the nasty shit that it's clean house time.
But see, this is what I tell people. What do you think that, and this is not an attack on white people, let me say that. For me, it's not. But do you think that the powers that be in general, however you want to define that, do you think that they would ever have black people's best interest at heart?
No.
If you,
that's why I'm going to stay on my message. I served in the military. I've been part of their bullshit. Okay?
Right.
So it's like this. Right now, I don't give a fuck what they think. I'm going to keep on pushing what I got to say and try to unify some of my people and try to go ahead and get them involved in ground root stuff such as farming and agriculture. Everything we got, everything you do comes from the ground, and we need to go ahead and deal with that instead of going ahead and saying, oh, well, you know, I got the latest electronic device. We need to stop going ahead and being consumers and then start working on being producers. That's where the real money's at. And that's what they got folks' minds all screwed up. That, hey, look, they're going to keep on going ahead and try to keep up with everything they see on TV.
Right.
Man,
And don't got a pot to piss in the window to throw it out of, but you got the new, you best get the new iPhone that's going to come out of what, and with the lie. So, yeah, it's ridiculous, but that's what I'm
thinking. And
here's
something else. Right now, this tax time, people getting their refunds back. And it's about time to do my show again on that, because I've done it for a little while, on how you can go ahead and get, that's your money. That's not the money you're siphoning off or stealing from the government. That's actually your money. So you're going to take your money and go ahead and buy some bullshit. Instead of going ahead and buy, like in Chicago right now, it's a couple of areas that, hey, if you go down to City Hall, they can go ahead and sell you that, hey, look, you can buy some of these lots of land, provided that you do something positive with it. Okay, so in one area, they just came up with a program a few weeks ago, well, hey, look, you buy a lot of land for a dollar. So what I'm trying to do is go ahead and buy that land and turn it into a nice urban farm. But you got Negroes who want to go ahead, oh, man, I got to go buy a car. No, man, I got to go for the local black radio station. Oh, man, they know what's going on. They know you got your money, so they're sponsoring a trip to go to Aruba. And right now, they're sponsoring a trip to go to South Africa. I've been to Africa, and from what I know, I don't want to go to South Africa. Fuck that. That's a white man.
No.
Exactly. I would rather go ahead and go to other places. Right now, I want to go ahead and deal with the West Coast of Africa because I'm in contact with people over that way. But I've been to Kenya. I've been to Somalia. I've been to Egypt. So I want to go over there and go ahead and deal with some of that stuff. I'm not going to no place to go ahead and benefit white folks. But you got the black radio stations who've been bought up by a white group in Texas, Clear Channel, to go ahead and control the message. And that is our biggest problem. We don't have a media, man. We don't have a media apparatus.
Absolutely. Nope.
We don't have media.
We don't have black media. We don't have any black real journalistic type of things that to really get real. I'm talking about real black information. We don't have it. Look at BET. That's completely been bought up by Viacom. So MTV, all of them. Is all one thing. So, of course, BET no longer has any news or anything. If you think back, not to say they ever did a lot for black people, but if you even think back in the day, at least they had BET News. At least they had certain elements that were trying to somewhat tell you something as a black person. We don't even have that little bit of piece of nothing anymore. We have nothing. Every piece of media that we get has already been tainted, has already been re-scripted, reshaped, reformatted, and it's not really the real things that's happening in the world. It's just what they want to tell us about. And so they put that out there, and they make that the news. That's why I'm saying when people say there's not a gay agenda, there's not an attack on black manhood, then why the hell do you see every time turning around there's some black athlete coming out as gay? Because they make the news. They put the news out there. They decide what's going to be the big story of the day. And you're consistently seeing them do this with young black men. So how can you not say that this is not real? So that's why I said black people got to open our eyes. We got to quit being so dumbed down, so desensitized, so comfortable, so to speak, in this bullshit that we've been given. Because that's all it is. And that's the thing, too. I don't like to blame, quote-unquote, the white man. I don't like to do that. That's why I say we've got to turn our focus within and stop focusing on the white man. We got to focus on what we can do now in our community. Because to be honest with you, when you look at all the gang violence that happened, you know, I'm just going back in the last, 20 years or so.
Hold on. I live in Chicago. Do I need to say more?
Right. So look, that's the thing, though. There is no reason that we ever needed for things to get out of hand the way they did. Because, see, what happened is, once it got to the media, the white media, okay, the dominant society media, once it got out there, then, of course, it was exploited to the nth degree. To say, well, look at these niggers, basically. Look at what they're doing to each other over colors. But see, what my thing is, as black people, again, we drop the ball. Because there's no reason why black men who had their head on straight should not have been out in our communities getting these boys together. And the ones who were younger, who were the next step down, getting them together. Getting them in. Hey, who are ex-Marines out here? Get them boys to put some camps together for them to do something. Put some things together for them to do stuff in the neighborhood and can earn some money. But see, that's the thing is, we never really do that. We never really put things in place to see if they'll work. Sometimes the simplest answer is the best answer. Sometimes you don't need to do this whole big referendum on this, that, and the other and put all this fun, all this money into it or try to get to your congressman to set this program up. Sometimes it's the most simple, basic things that can be done right where you live, right where you stand, that can make the most change. And we don't do it.
That's beautiful, sister. Oh, so you going to come back tomorrow? 8 o'clock, you're
on
some time, remember?
I know. I promise. I will. And I will be on time, and I will be ready, and I will have my video, and I was working on that, too, and I edited it pretty good, so I'm going to send you that in about, give me like an hour, and I'm going to send that to you, so I will have that ready, because then I'll put it out. As soon as I'm finished, I'll put it out, and so hopefully people can start. start to see it, who's ever subscribed to me or whatever. So, sorry. I'm sorry.
We can work that out. It's okay, sister. It's okay. Tomorrow, you just be here tomorrow, 8 o'clock. I'll be ready to go. Because, like I said, I got one of the oldest accounts here on Blog Talk, so... and I do shows off and on, but I want to go ahead and get consistent because what I'm actually trying to work on is try to go ahead and do, this to me, this is practice because I'm trying to go ahead and get a TV show together to go ahead and do what I'm doing here. Okay, so as you listen to me and you go ahead and see that where my head's at because I ain't for no bullshit, you know, and I keep it real.
That's right.
I don't do no baby talk and all that other stuff. People want to go ahead and do this. I mean, what the hell, fuck? I went to college. But still,
right.
It's still the same thing. We need to go ahead and take this as the urgency that it is and go ahead and stop with that nonsense because people ain't listening to that baby. Now, well, our people should quit listening to the baby talk because a lot of that baby talk is coming from those who mean us more harm than good. They want to go ahead and pacify you. Oh, calm down, such and such. No, get your ass the fuck away from me. And here's something else. If you call me an angry black man, I'm going to tell you one thing. Hell yeah, I'm angry black, so get out my fucking face. So, sister, I hope to see you tomorrow. I'll be here from you tomorrow. I'll be here 8 o'clock. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, we're going to take it out with my mother thing here, man. And I'll see you tomorrow, sister.